Welcome to the Prepared Mindset Podcast, and welcome to the Sunday Sit Rep, everyone. I'm your host, Austin, and we got some stuff to dig into here, man. If you guys are listening to this Sit Rep, right, for the very first time, what we do with these is try to take the opportunity to kind of segregate the current events to an extent, right, and the political stuff to an extent off of the main Prepared Mindset Podcast. We have guest discussions on things like training and preparedness and shooting and certain skill sets and things like that. Here, it's just for an opportunity, I should say, for me to share my opinion and some insights on current events, what's going on, what we can expect to see happen, what might happen. I mean, it could be completely wrong. I think I've correctly predicted like less than 50% of things, but it's hard, right? It's hard to tell the future. Otherwise, you know, we'd be millionaires and I'd be playing the lotto and I would know, and then I wouldn't even probably be doing this podcast. I'd be living someplace much warmer than Michigan and definitely with better roads, probably Florida, honestly. But at any rate, thank you guys for joining me. If this is your first time listening to the Prepared Mindset, welcome aboard. Happy to have you. And if this is your first time with the Sit Rep, hopefully this is something you guys enjoy. And if this is a podcast that you guys are listening to, or you find yourself coming back to this, please do us a favor. Go ahead and hit the pause button right now and hit the subscribe icon. That stuff makes a huge difference to us with the companies we're able to work with, the following we're able to establish and grow, and the audience that we're able to foster, right, through shared learning experiences, common interests, right, and a love for this community really is what it comes down to. And that's why I do what I do with this, you know, the weekly podcast, the monthly Sit Rep discussions, the content on our YouTube, which you can go check out. It's just Prepared Mindset on YouTube, the Instagram page. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/prepared_mindset_pod. If you are interested in being so gracious as to financially support this endeavor. But we also do have some really, really cool industry partners that are very, very supportive of our mission here. Like I said, the mission being a shared educational experience, right? So taking the things that I'm able to observe and learn and experience myself and, you know, really, really bring that to you guys here in, a verbal formatting that hopefully then opens the doors for you guys to either explore those on your own, or I know some of you guys have connected with me in real life, which is always very, very cool. But we have a couple industry partners here that we're going to talk about in our ad space in a moment that make this all possible week to week, month to month, day to day, right? With the work that I'm doing here and the information that we're broadcasting out on the podcast and our, you know, additional content. So I want to say thank you to those partners for their ongoing support of Prepared Mindset. And that starts, of course, with Custom Night Vision. You guys love Custom Night Vision. Been working with them for several years as a customer and then now as a partner. Their website, if you want to go check out everything that they have available, is customnightvision.com. Right there from the homepage, you can check out their single tube or monocular builder, or dual tube or binocular builder, where you can literally design and build out to your specifications, what your wants and needs are, your own single tube or dual tube device, starting with lenses, starting, you know, with the housing, and then being able to pick what kind of tubes you want. So whether that's green phosphor, NNVT, because you're balling on a budget, or you want some super gain L3 tubes, which they do still have some in stock. Yes, L3 hasn't completely vanished from the commercial market, or something in between, maybe some Photonis, maybe some white phosphor, you know, Elbit XLSHs or something like that. And if you don't see what you want, or if you don't know what you need, you can reach out to the team at Custom directly. The website, again, it's customnightvision.com. Actually has a chat feature built into the lower right-hand corner. So you can reach out to Ben or Trevor or Kevin and talk to them directly. Hey, you know, I'm using this for flat range training. I really won't be doing a whole lot of crazy stuff with it. I don't use it professionally. What would you recommend? Here's my budget. And they're going to help you guys. They're going to help walk you through your options, the pros and the cons to NNVT versus Photonis, or Photonis versus L3, Elbit versus L3, right? You know, or green versus white, all that stuff. And you guys, their goal, their mission as a company, as individuals, right, really is to provide the most transparent purchasing experience possible. They want to make sure that you guys are happy and you're well taken care of. So whether you're looking for a PVS-14 with a green phosphor tube, they do have some surplus stuff, at least last time I looked, right? Some Omni tubes and things like that are refurbed if you're trying to save a couple bucks. Or if you're trying to buy once, cry once, and build out, you know, a Lloyd Innovations MH1 with L3 super gain tubes, they have all of that stuff and a heck of a lot more. CustomNightVision.com. Let them know that Austin over at Prepared Mindset sent you over. They're going to take fantastic care of you. Now, also want to say thank you to the folks over at Harrington Arms, you guys, my neighbors down in Ohio. You can head to Harrington Arms, that's Harrington with an E, harringtonarms.com, to check out everything that they have available, all the good stuff they've got going on, from, you know, little just nice to have enhancements, like their cord retainers. I don't even know what they're called. I think that's what they're called. You know, little M-lock pieces that hold your push button cords and stuff, or pressure pad cords rather, to your M-lock rail for neat keeping and organization, to their magwells for various different firearms, to the magazine extensions. I'm really, really wanting to get my hands in some of their extensions for Glock mags, right? And they also, I think what they're really known for, and you guys probably know them for, is their compensators. I've been running the HC95 V1 for a bit here. Tried out the V2. Really, really well-made stuff and affordable. Less than $100, and they always have blems available on the site. And they have their proprietary barrel and compensator combo, the Hacker System, coming to the market very, very soon here. Head on over to harringtonarms.com, check out all of that stuff, and pick yourself up something nice today. So big, big thank you to those companies for their support. And honestly, for you guys as well, thank you so much for listening. Without the audience, without your interest, really, obviously, this doesn't happen. It doesn't continue to happen. So appreciate all of that and all of our industry partners that are so kind as to work with us. But we got some stuff to get into. I will try not to get too ranty and ravey as we get into a couple of these things. I'm trying to figure out, there's like two main topics, right, that I want to start with. And I guess I'll, you know, just off the top of my mind here, I'll start with news breaking from the FBI this morning. I'm recording this on Halloween, so this will drop a couple days from now. But Kash Patel, director of the FBI, came out and made the announcement this morning. Saw it all over social media, all over internet news channels, and I'm assuming legacy media, if I cared enough to watch that garbage that they put out there, that there was a planned terrorist attack here in the Metro Detroit area in Dearborn that was set to take place on Halloween, and the FBI thwarted that plan early this morning. The details of the article that I read from, I think it was clickondetroit.com, which is one of the news channels that specifically covers Detroit, that the raid or the arrests, right, all took place on the 31st. So given that today is literally the 31st, it didn't happen this evening yet. I'm recording this on lunchtime. So yes, probably early this morning, there's been video clips that have been circulated around on the internet where they have basically did a surrounding call out on a house or a series of houses in the Dearborn area. And were able to arrest those individuals, I'm assuming through, I would hope anyways, through lawful means and through evidence gained, gathered, to justify, right, the arrest to prevent the attack. And this is, I mean, aside from the fact this is in my backyard, right, this is about half an hour, a little bit less than half an hour from where I live. I'm on like the other side of Detroit from Dearborn. And the concern with this, and I'm going to try not to sound like, it's not racially motivated. It's not, you know, I don't know. It's really is. I guess it might be kind of a religious thing. I don't know. But that area is a large area of concern for a lot of people within the state of Michigan and a lot of people in the greater Midwest region because of the high concentration, the high volume of Middle Eastern individuals, you know, immigrants and otherwise, right, that they live in that area. There's been a number of protests, objections, things like that made to the city council about the call to prayer being broadcast in that city because the population there is so high. It's, you know, of Muslim residents, and it's a disruption. Now, I don't live there, so these aren't my words. This is stuff I've heard on social media and what people have told me and what I've read from various sources, right? It's a disruption for folks who live in the area and have to deal with that, and it also brings a lot of the city to a halt because while these folks are at prayer, they're not working, they're not doing things, so you kind of have to shift and alter the entire way of life there, whether you follow that religion or not, around this. And that in and of itself, I can kind of, you know, understand, and I can kind of wrap my mind around from a purely just, you know, freedom of religion, and I'm down with that, man. Like, worship how you want, worship who you want. The problem with this is that area has become increasingly volatile. they have a, I believe it's a mayor of the city that has basically dismissed people from their town hall meetings because they don't want to hear anything of objection, right, to a lot of these policies that are being changed. There are, as I understand it, degrees of like Sharia law being kind of tossed around. You know, I don't have a ton of specifics on it, but just like culturally, that's what the area is leaning towards, even if it is not legal by state law or federal law. And we've gotten to this point now, I think, in our country through a series of decisions made in the spirit of bend but don't break, right? So we'll give a little bit because this is a cultural thing for some people. We'll give a little bit more because this is a cultural and a religious thing for these people. And we've gotten to the point where we have bent so much, we're twisted, we're tied in a knot. Yeah, the stick didn't break, but it definitely bent. And now there is no, you know, real easy way out of this. And we're seeing the most concerning part of that, like the cultural stuff I can get, man. I can. The religious stuff I can get, man. I don't have a problem with that. The problems I have is we're seeing like some very, very concerning protests supporting certain movements and a lot of anti-American rhetoric. That's my biggest problem with this, is these people are running for elected offices in a large city in Michigan, in America, and they're campaigning off of anti-American rhetoric, which, yes, freedom of speech, I still have a large problem with it myself. Because in other countries, if you were to say things like this, and if you don't believe me, read a fucking book, because political assassinations and shit happen all the time all over the world. Look at what just happened to Charlie Kirk, right? And if you don't think that's a political assassination, you are, I mean, I don't know what's up with you, but that's just, it is what it is. In other countries around the world, you're not allowed to speak out against the sitting government. We enjoy that freedom here because of the greatness of the United States of America and of our country. And for these elected representatives who are supposed to obviously be representative of the people to the government, but are against the government, and they're not necessarily in favor of the people because the will of the people is not religious, separation of church and state, right? The will of the people is what they're supposed to vote for, and what you're campaigning on is what's supposed to get you in office. It's very concerning because it's becoming violent, it's becoming volatile, and then we have these things happening where, oh, Halloween, they're targeting Halloween as an attack. There was a cell or a group of people planning a terrorist attack on what's celebrated as an American holiday. Not like we close, you know, we don't close the Fed and post office is still open. It's not like Christmas or anything, but it's a very American holiday. I don't know that they celebrate Halloween, you know, around the world and things, but obviously if they're planning on doing it, it's because they know when people are going to be out of their homes, people are going to be out in the streets, they're going to be doing things socially. It is a targeted attack on American culture. And that, my friends, I think is a huge point of concern and a very big problem if we're just being fucking honest, because we've allowed these people to come into our country. We've allowed them to elect leaders to the House and Senate, right? Look at Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, who is from Dearborn. Rashida Tlaib is in Michigan. She is an awful woman. She hates the United States. She is one of those, I don't really know the right word for it, but there's a lot of clips. What I'm trying to get to is like, there's a lot of clips of her floating around and circulating on social media where she just like freaks out and starts screaming at people because she's not able to articulate her position on things. When she is opposed, she's easily flustered. She does not, and I'm not saying she's not educated, but I'm saying is she does not often present herself or come across as a very educated individual, which like fine. Like, you don't always need to be the most well-spoken person in the world. Like, look at Donald Trump. A lot of people love Donald Trump for a lot of the things that he's done. A lot of people hate him, but I think that one of the things in his first term in office that really hurt Donald Trump is you went from Barack Obama, who was one of the most well-spoken leaders we've had in this country, certainly a lot better than his predecessor with George W. Bush, right? You go from Obama to Trump, and Trump talks like a layperson in kind of an odd way, but you know, he talks like you and I, which a lot of people found somewhat charming and relatable, but not necessarily what a lot of people wanted to see in their leader, aside from like the political differences, right? So what I'm saying with that is that you don't always have to be the most well-spoken individual, and you don't always have to come across as a a Harvard-educated professional. Lord knows that when we get into too much of that large word speak, right, people get really upset, right? Because we already don't trust politicians enough, and they take it as a major sign of disrespect, and that you're treating people as stupid, I don't really know. But a lot of people don't like it. And I certainly understand that, because you want to be spoken to in a way that you can understand. When you don't understand the words being used, it comes across as deceptive. I think that's where I was trying to go with this. So that area, that whole area here in Michigan, it is a really, really big problem that this continues to go relatively unchecked. And I'm not saying, you know, that... I don't even know what I'm saying, honestly. A lot of people would have advocated. I've had people tell me this and send me messages and stuff. Oh, we should activate the National Guard or the military in some capacity, right? And send them into the area, you know, activate martial law and go through and do a clean sweep of the area and make arrests and send ICE through there. Maybe. I don't necessarily advocate for that. I think that when we had the National Guard going through the streets and forcing curfews on folks during COVID was one of the most disgraceful parts of our country's history, personally. When Tim Walz did it in Minnesota, and you have those video clips still being shared 5 years later of Minnesota police screaming at residents to get back in their home and then, you know, firing, you know, tear gas and rubber bullets and shit or whatever at people that weren't, they were like standing on their porch or in their doorway, which your porch is still your property, but they want everybody inside the house. And it's like, that's that weaponization there, that's a dangerous game to play. So if that is a direction that our sitting government feels to be appropriate, the one thing I would say is you better be damn sure it's necessary. Because if you guys have ever seen the movie The Cell, I think it's called The Cell, with like Denzel Washington and Bruce Willis, where I think it's in New York, where they impose martial law and the military does occupy the city and they are trying to find a cell of terrorists and they do create like internment camps. I'm pretty sure it's The Cell. You guys might have to drop in the comment and like correct me. It's this movie. I know the movie though, because I think Annette Bening is in it as well. The chick that was in The American President with Michael Douglas, which is, I mean, it's a total chick flick, but God, I love that movie. It's like Martin Sheen's in there, Michael J. Fox, tremendous film. No homo. But it's a great film. But if you guys have seen The Cell and you know how that went, people don't like having their freedoms and their rights violated, especially here in the United States, but anywhere across the world. So if that's a course of action that we're interested in pursuing as a state government, which I don't think we will, because Gretchen Whitmer is first and foremost a Democrat and very liberal in her policies. So I believe she will fight against that kind of, I don't want to say an overstep, but that kind of a bypass by the federal government to send troops here and activate the guard or something to that effect. I would just say you have your T's crossed and your I's dotted to be very, very sure that what you're doing is justified and is right and is correct. And if that's the case and it works out, fantastic. A lot of people took exception when it was brought up when J.D. Vance made the visit to Michigan a couple months ago, and he publicly addressed Governor Whitmer. I don't think she was at the rally or anything. It was right after the Charlie Kirk killing. I forget which city, Downriver. There's a lot of people are like, oh yeah, that's where the Klan lives, and I'm like, you guys are fucking idiots. I don't, you know, he's the Vice President of the United States. Do you really think there's a giant conspiracy to embed the KKK into the federal government? I mean, they've hardly been relevant for decades, and this is why racism still exists, is because some people just won't let it go, and they want to force that shit into every narrative that doesn't fit their political viewpoint. But he made the comment, I believe, directed at Governor Whitmer, if you want us to send in the guard, just let us know, more than happy to. That to me says a couple things. Like, one, we still haven't matured enough to where we're beyond making political jabs out in the open, which sometimes needed, usually not helpful. But it also says to me that this issue is a visible one. This is a known concern, not at the state level, but at the federal level, because you have the vice president's attention. You have, which means that to some degree, you're probably getting the president's attention and the overall broader federal government's attention. It's really, really concerning, because you waited till the day of the planned attack to stop it, which you did, you know, but what if you didn't? What if they were unsure on some of this stuff? Like, there's been several boondoggles, is the word I'll use, right? By the FBI, by our law enforcement agencies nationwide, right? Where we have the information and we don't act in time. You know, if you guys read some books about going back to like pre-9/11 during the 90s and stuff, the CIA and the FBI notoriously do not like to work together. We had enough information to prevent the 9/11 attacks, and nobody talked to anybody, and then what happened happened, right? And I'm not trying to, like, you know, go back and point fingers. It's what's done is done, and certainly 20 years of a war fought overseas that nothing tangible except maybe, I guess, oil prices ever came of. And even that's up for a lot of debate. As you read back further, you know, when Bush Sr. was like the director of the CIA under Ford, I think, you know, and then was vice president for Reagan, and you know, the counterterrorism policies and ignoring terrorism as a larger issue right through all that time. There's so much stuff you can read on that. But counterterrorism in general needs to be a greater focus in this country after 4 years of open borders, because we've seen military-age fighting males flood our country. And there are cities in this country where you have large populations. In this case, it's a Muslim population in the city of Dearborn, Michigan, where there is justifiable, I think, concern that there could be terrorist activity. And yes, proven by the fact that they just made a large arrest by a federal law enforcement agency in that city. I think at some point you have to, you know, look at it and go, you're not racist. You're just calling it like you see it. And some people like to use that label to identify stuff which they don't agree with. And I'll add incorrectly, albeit incorrectly a lot of times. So, yeah, that's a really interesting one to wake up to this morning. Certainly something that, I mean, you don't know about that stuff, right? Because federal investigations are kept very, very hush-hush. But certainly concerning. Attacks on America, it's not like an attack on one thing. It's attack on broader American culture. And I'm making some assumptions here because they haven't really released a lot of information at this time, right? I'm recording this. It's like 10 after noon on Halloween. So, between now and when this drops, you guys may read more, right? You may have more information. I don't know. But my assumption is that this is an overall assault against American culture, because they hate the West. You know, they hate us. They being people of that, you know, of those beliefs from all around the world, right, that hate America and think that we should live according to their moral code, with their definition of what reasonable freedom is, which obviously I think most of us as freedom-loving Americans, liberty-loving Americans and individuals, right, would say a big fuck you to that. You know, we are the greatest country in the world because we guarantee that freedom to everybody, even for the folks that we don't like, who practice a religion that we don't, right, in ways that we may not agree with. They have that freedom. And we recognize that, and we want to guarantee that, and we want to protect that, but not at the cost of our own safety. And that's where we need to draw the lines, be very clear. And to be very clear, just because somebody is Muslim does not mean they're a terrorist. It doesn't mean that they want to kill you. There are radicals on both sides of that. There's radical Catholics and Christians who are out there advocating for the, you know, the death of some people, and it's really disturbing shit when you come across it on the internet. Because I was raised Catholic. I am Catholic. And the Christian Bible does not advocate for the mass extermination of different believers. Not that I'm aware of, not as I interpret it. Now, I'm sure some of you guys could probably point to some shit in the Old Testament and go, well, this is what it says. And it's like, well, yeah, but I don't know that I, in my own religious believings, right, I'm not advocating that. So, not to keep beating this horse, but very interesting. So let's go ahead, and at this point now, we're like 20 minutes in, so I'll transition to the second topic that I wanted to get into today, which is that we're now approaching the month mark, benchmark, with the shutdown of the federal government. And this is really, really concerning for a lot of different reasons, some of which people don't even realize, right? And there's a lot of factors that come into play at this. You know, first and foremost, federal employees are not being paid. And what's stupid is you're seeing now the Democrat leadership is getting on the podium, they're getting on the mic, they're going to the cameras and saying, this is President Trump's fault. He wants children who are on SNAP, like food stamp benefits is what SNAP is. I don't know what it stands for. He wants those children. He himself personally wants those children to starve. And it's like, well, when the fuck did he become a member of Congress? It's not him. This is the House and Senate that can't get over their bullshit between each other. And you've even started to have people defect from the party line. Like John Fetterman came out, and I think Bernie Sanders came out and said something too, in support of Trump on this stuff. And you're now starting to see that realistically, like, again, recording on the 31st, the elections are on November 4th. And there's a pretty strong belief, and it's becoming very, very evident, which, you know, we'll see, but that the Democrat Party seems to be, and I'm not saying the Republicans are without guilt here either, but I will say the Republicans have lost and lost and lost over the last, I don't know, several years here. And we're finally in a position as conservative Americans, if you align with the Republican Party, right, which I think most of us do, while not also being super stoked with a lot of the shit that they do, right? But if you had to choose A or B, you're usually on the Republican side because the Democrats have proven to be so far left with things that it's just untenable. That we're not compromising anymore. And I think they're trying to leverage this shutdown during the election to paint the political opposition as the bad guys. So the only way that this would be disproven is if this shutdown continues for weeks past the election, which if it does, okay, cool, then I'm proven wrong in this instance, which my opinion's worth like next to fucking nothing. Who the fuck cares? Who am I, right? In all of this, who am I? But you are punishing the American people by, yes, removing some very, I would say, important benefits to some folks. Some folks are just too fucking lazy. I'll say that. And we know that to be true, right? Because the billions of dollars paid to support the SNAP benefits basically doubled from like 2020 till today. Because we were like somewhere between, the chart I looked at had somewhere between $60 and $80 billion annually, and it, you know, it was steadily climbing for the 10 years up to that, but you know, not crazy, right? Just like a steady increase, maybe $10 or $20 billion over 10 years, right? Which is, I'm not saying it's not a lot of money, right? It's a shitload of money, but then we went from that roughly $70 billion mark to $140 billion over the last 4 years. That is a staggering change, and it shows that people that went home during COVID and never went back to work are still leeching off the system. There's a lot of numbers to look at. I've seen stuff shared out there like, oh, the average weight of the American female is like, you know, 189 pounds or something like that, right? And then the average weight of females on the SNAP program is like 260. And it's like, so they're just overweight and they're lazy and don't want to work is the general narrative that's being shared in some of that kind of commentary. And it's like, when you do look at that data, if that is in fact true, and I've not validated that, but if that is in fact true, maybe it is time for some reform and some sweeping change, right? The left loves that. They love to throw around police reform and sweeping change. It's time to get better. Okay, well, that includes with how much free handouts you're giving to people that are funded purely by taxpayer dollars. And this government shutdown, they're using it, they're trying to weaponize people struggling, and they'll sit there and say it's the other political party. In reality, if you really cared about people, you know, you would do something about it more immediately. The shit side of this is that all of the members of Congress continue to get paid during this shutdown. So, like, I have friends who are part of the Michigan National Guard. They don't get paid right now. Now, will they get back pay? Yes, they will. But because the government is shut down currently, they are not getting paid. And I think this week or next week, one of these two, is the first time they're missing a paycheck. And that's tough because we have families in this country that are living paycheck to paycheck right now because interest rates are going down. I think the Fed just cut rates again, right? So that's good news for a lot of people. But, you know, the cost of living, the cost of groceries, the cost of vehicles and gas, it's like never been worse here. And so the longer this goes on, the more people will continue to suffer. And they'll sit here, they'll point fingers, they'll say it's the other side's fault, you know, and I honestly, I'm fairly unimpacted by it, so it's easy for me to sit here and say some of these things and not get too emotional about it, but, you know, when you start seeing friends and family impacted, people who you love, right, and you're like, how are you doing, and the response goes from, we're okay for now, I don't know what it's going to look like, and then 2 weeks later, it's like, well, things are kind of tight, and then it's like, well, now we're just living off our savings account, however long that keeps us, and it's a strangle tactic. Like it's a long-term stall tactic made possible by people who make millions of dollars off of insider trading in the stock market and have a minimum annual salary of like $250,000. So $250,000 a year. And then all of them leave government office once they're in the House and the Senate, they somehow manage to leave as multimillionaires. So even the ones who don't do a ton of it still do it and still make a shitload of money. They're becoming rich, like generationally wealthy off of the American people insider training and taking advantage of their offices. And even the people that we like, right? A lot of people really like Dan Crenshaw. you know, a lot of people hate him now. Even he has come out and gotten like fiery, angry about, you know, oh, shouldn't we be able to trade stocks? No, you shouldn't. Not while your access to privileged information to help run and govern the country. If you want to resume trading after you leave office, cool. But your right should be that your ability to trade stocks, bonds, whatever, should be, in my opinion, suspended during your time in office. If that's not a conflict of interest, I don't know what the fuck is. And then everybody, every one of these fucking people, oh, I didn't make those. That's my husband's business. I have nothing to do with that. And it's like such an obvious lie with some of these people, like, you know, Elizabeth Warren or Nancy Pelosi and stuff. And yes, you know, even the Republicans, there's people out there taking advantage on that side of things too. They're not without guilt. And it just, it continues to get worse and worse. We are finally starting to see some, you know, legislation introduced to say that, you know, I think two critical ones was one to halt the ability for them to buy and sell stocks and things like that while they're in office. But the other one was to halt salary, halt payment or payroll of the House and the Senate during government shutdowns. Like, you're government employees just as much as anybody else is. Why should you get paid while nobody else does? Because, yeah, they use it as a political stall tactic. And then it starts majorly fucking shit up. Like, people don't realize air traffic controllers are federal employees. TSA at the airport is federal employees. So, like, I may have to travel for work soon, and I have a colleague who has to fly in because she lives, you know, several states away. She's not, like, in the area. And there's a real concern. Well, I should be getting into town around 4 o'clock, but if there's not enough air traffic controllers, that's going to lead to massive delays. These people are only showing up to work out of the goodness of their heart, quite literally. You can't fire them. You're not compensating them. So they're showing up because they know if they don't, lives are at stake, potentially, right? And overworked air traffic controllers lead to problems, collisions in the sky, collisions and issues on the runways and stuff. Like, it's a real fucking issue. And if TSA isn't there to properly scan, whether you go out and get scabs or something, well, no, they're not striking, so I can't say that. But if TSA is not there to do their job, how can we guarantee safe travel? And then air travel gets, what, suspended because we can't operate without safety, that safety net that TSA provides. And a lot of us like to hate on TSA because we hate taking off our shoes at the airport. But I think a lot of us would agree that it's a necessary annoyance to ensure our fucking safety. And this all ties back to the government shutdown. And what the real rub in all of this is that, like, you know, government benefits are on halt. All this stuff isn't running. Government employees aren't getting paid. We're still fucking paying taxes, though, aren't we? And that's the part that fucking sucks, because if the government shut down, I shouldn't have to pay taxes. Why? What are they going to? You're not doing anything with the money. If you're shut down for an entire month, that is an entire month of the fiscal year where my taxes go to what? And it's like, oh, so by that math, we should end the year with a surplus, right? Which means my taxes for next year should go down to at least some degree, right? And that's never the way it fucking happens. And I get it. We all hate taxes. We would all like to see them go away. It's just, it's so shitty, man. It's so shitty. And I hope that this garbage ends soon, because it's really, I mean, it's offensive to the American people, for one. But, like, here's the thing. If they stopped paying the members of Congress, I guarantee you this crap would be done within a week. We'd never see a shutdown longer than a week, because these people are so self-serving. I have so little respect for so many politicians. I really do. I think if we did halt paying them, we'd have this stuff resolved. How many times do we have major issues that need to be resolved and then, oh, well, Congress couldn't come to a conclusion, so they're going on recess for the third time this year. They'll be back in 6 weeks. And it's like, so what do we just fucking do? Sit on our hands? The American people just, what, fuck off? And these people actually defend it. Well, you know, we're entitled to our time away from the office too. And it's like, not really. I mean, you're running the government. You're a public servant. Police officers don't just get to take 6 weeks off for mental health and a break from the job. And with your defunding, a lot of them are working 60-hour weeks, week after week, with less resources. People are coming in with less training, making their job even more dangerous, while also being put under a huge political microscope every day they're at work. Anytime they do anything, could be the incident that ends up on the news that ruins their good name, ruins their life, and forces them to relocate their family to another city, or even possibly another fucking state where people might not know who they are. It's happened multiple times over the last 5-10 years. And sometimes deserved, yeah, a lot of times not. So, man, I just, yeah, the shutdown, that stuff makes me sick. It's really, really frustrating. It's very annoying. But yeah, moving on, you know, hey, we are, at the time that this drops, it will be November 2nd, I believe. And we're officially, with that, we're past Halloween. And we're into the holiday season, you guys. It is absolutely wild to think back on everything that's happened this year and then realize that basically by the time this has dropped, it'll officially be, you know, Christmas music season, which is really awesome. I love Christmas music for about a day and a half. And then it gets really fucking annoying because if I have to hear, you know, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas more than like maybe 10 times over 2 months, I want to just like rage and throw some stuff. Cause I can't stand that song. Like there's some pretty good ones. You know, Ed Sheeran with, what's his name? Elton John. That one's a pretty decent, you know, catchy tune. Some of the classics, good stuff. Like I really love being able to have the time to spend with friends and family. One of the things I'm most thankful for, and I know I don't have to like, go into what I'm thankful for cause we're not quite at Thanksgiving yet, but, one of the things I'm most thankful for is that a specific group of friends and I, who have known each other for a very long time, started and have continued to do Friendsgiving dinners. So either right before Thanksgiving or right after Thanksgiving, everybody brings a dish. We get together. We have some drinks. We eat a ton of food. We play some games. We laugh. We sit back and realize how much older we're getting. It's like the last 2 years where like we get after dinner and start playing some board games. Like, oh, does anybody want a drink? And it's like, you got coffee, and then we all switch over to coffee, and it's like, God, we're fucking old, you know, which is cool. Like, it's a shared life development that just makes you sit back and go, like, I have people, you know, these are my people, and this is who I'm going through life with, and it just makes you feel kind of good about it to be, but really just having the opportunity to celebrate, you know, another year together, be thankful and celebrate with one another, and then, of course, we get to actual Thanksgiving. And then Christmas, you know, and I'll just be honest, like Christmas is my favorite fucking time of the year, man. It's just, it's magic. Up here in Michigan, we get snow. Well, last couple of years, we haven't really gotten snow, but we get snow. You got the decorations, the music. People are just in a better mood. And like, man, nothing makes me happier when I'm out and about doing stuff. And we all just say, you know, Merry Christmas. And I know, like, I've never actually had anybody throw it back in my face, like, it's Happy Holidays. Like, no, it's fucking not. It is not Happy Holidays. It's fucking Merry Christmas, dude. You don't like how I say it. You move on with your day and you can go curse my name or my face if you don't know my name, like later when you get home. You know, I can just see some, you know, short-haired Karen. Can you believe what this asshole said to me at the grocery store? And it's like, no, this is stupid. Like, I've actually started doing it pretty actively in the last couple of years. I say Merry Christmas. I've had at my old job, they actually put out guidance in an email, like, you should say Happy Holidays to be inclusive of everyone. Like, why? I say Merry Christmas because that's what I celebrate. If you don't celebrate Christmas, then cool. Then just, like, it's two words put together to elicit a hopefully pleasant response. As I'm saying that, like, I think about the dialogue, the scene from Roadhouse, right? Where Patrick Swayze's talking about, you know, talking to the team of the bouncers of the Double Deuce, right? Like, what if they call me a cocksucker? And, or something, don't do anything. It's two words paired together to elicit a specific response. And in that instance, the specific response is anger and rage, right? But with Merry Christmas, it's joy and hope and faith and happiness, which is awesome. But I do. I really love Christmas. It is my favorite time of the year. I can't even express. And then, you know, I'll probably do some of this stuff on the podcast or maybe a YouTube video. Like, I always end up doing it a little bit later than I would like to. So maybe that's a video I'll drop on the YouTube, is like my top 5 or top 10 recommended like gifts for Christmas. So you can, and like hopefully before Black Friday, so you guys can get out there and start watching for some deals, watching for some opportunities, right? Because you got like Prime Days, you got Black Friday sales that start 2 weeks before Black Friday and everything. It's like the magic of Black Friday, if you've ever wanted to call it that, but like the experience to it where you'd go out and you'd go shopping. They'd open the doors at midnight or 1 a.m. and all that stuff. And it was like this whole experience where people would take the day off work and they'd go shopping together. You could spend time with your relatives because, you know, you and your, I'm assuming I have friends that did it. I never did it, but like, your mom and your grandma and you would go out and go shopping, you know, or you and your dad would go out and just get one thing every year. It was like one power tool you really wanted, you know. Now it's just, it's all online, and it's kind of destroyed the magic of it, as retail shopping has basically died and faded away in a lot of instances. It is making somewhat of a resurgence, because I think after COVID, everybody was like, I don't want to live at home anymore. I'm going to go shop physically. Yeah. So, I mean, all of that to say, like, I'm excited for the holiday season, man. And hopefully, with November, the weather here is still pretty decent. We're still in, like, the 40s and 50s, so I'm going to try and get, like, a decent-sized range day together here locally, and hopefully spend a day, you know, getting after it with the boys. That would be fucking fantastic. It would be better, honestly, if it was, like, Thanksgiving weekend. Like, pack up, bring out a bunch of fucking leftovers and, like, eat together afterwards, or just have a lunch break in the middle of it. Stuff like that. But that's all I got. You know, I'm not going to sit here and just pontificate about the holidays. We'll have plenty of that over the next 2 months. That's all I have for you guys on this edition of the Sit Rep. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting Prepared Mindset. And like I said, if you did enjoy this, please hit that subscribe button, share it with your friends, check us out on our YouTube. We're really, honestly, if I can hit 4,000 subscribers by the end of the year, or 5, honestly, would be great. If I can hit that by the end of the year, man, I'd be so elated. I didn't even think I would do, you know, 3,000 by year end. And it's slow, iterative, you know, steps, baby steps, good progress and things like that. But really, really looking forward to the holidays and the end of the year and everything that next year has for us. So with that, you guys, thank you so much for hanging out. Be safe out there. Have a happy Halloween. And like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.